Chapter 10. A Soldier's Duty. Bright Hawks. Flight at Last. Eagle's Watch Rapid Deployment Hangar. Eternity Wall Spaceport, 25th of Secundus.
We wait. That is a warrior's primary task. Our duty calls for readiness to fight, the ultimate result of which is sacrifice. But before death comes the wait. The wait lasts and lasts, and sometimes is never done. Equally, it can cease at any moment, and life finish in the fire. An airman, therefore, must be two things above all else. They must be fearless and prepared at all times for the end. But more than that, they must be patient, or the waiting will drive them to despair.
Sat at her small desk, Aisha Davenport reread yesterday's words in her diary. Her pencil was poised over the day's new entry, as it had been for 3 minutes, but she could think of nothing new to add. The bombardment had gone on for nearly 2 weeks, and her squadron hung on the very edges of their nerves waiting for action. Sleepless nights led to tense days. The repetitive duties demanded of any soldier help fill the time. Flight readiness checks, kit checks, cleaning, tidying, and so on. They formed a fortification of duty around her emotions, but as the bombardment wore on with its ceaseless gut-rumbling pounding, it eroded those walls. Trepidation crept in through the breaches, and fear snuck in behind. She wasn't frightened to die. She'd become resigned to death a long time ago. A useless death terrified her, however. While her squadron was grounded, she was useless, and as much at risk as any civilian.
A useless death, she wrote in her diary, is the worst death of all.
The words looked stark on the white of the journal page, and she almost crossed them through. Instead, she threaded the pencil back into its loop and snapped the small book shut and left it upon her table. Her status as an aeronautica pilot gave her a good-sized room. Being a squadron mistress gained her a little more space. Her quarters even had a window. High up on the side of the enormous Eternity Wall spaceport, it had unrivaled views, the sort a rich man would pay a planet's ransom to possess. On fine days, she could look out across the palace, taking in a slice of the northern aspect, over the daylight section of the Eternity Wall and the mountains beyond. That's what she saw in normal circumstance. Fire was what she saw then. Reds and golds and orange shot through with the multicoloured lightning flicker of void shield discharge. The Eternity Wall spaceport's great bulk projected high over the fortification it was named for. The top of the port scraped the underside of space. As such, the palace aegis rose around it in a sloped blister of energy. The fire was a few hundred metres from her window. If she angled her head, she could see down towards the ground, past the docks and wharfs projecting from the sides of the port. The top of the wall and the towers she could also see, before the downturn of the aegis cut off the view of the world beyond and screened it with fire. The chrono said it was night, but for weeks the world had endured perpetual firelight. She left her quarters. The 198th Squadron Barracks were plain yet neat. What the pilots themselves didn't keep in order, their unit servants did. Corridors of plain grey rockcrete, decorated with a single yellow stripe at waist height, made up the majority of her world. Breaks in the colour told her where she was. There were scores of barracks in Yellow Sector, and they all looked very much the same. The corridor terminated on a balcony overlooking Hangar 1. Half her squadron was housed inside. 8 one-man Panthera-class fighters, including her own ship, Blue Zephyr. Like the corridors, the hangar was plain but for yellow striping. Their banner hung limp on the wall over the entrance, machines underneath wrinkling up the number and the common name of Bright Hawks stitched into it. Hazard striping, stenciled directly onto the floor, took up much of the space, especially around the fighters' individual standings, and at the ends of the two mag catapults that propelled the craft out of the hangar. With two more catapults in Hangar 2, all of the squadron's 16 ships could be in the air within minutes, and at full burn in the void 10 minutes after that. Right then, the fighters were silent, their canopies covered with tarpaulins, dogged tight. Except Yancy Modin's ship. She sat in the cockpit, fiddling with her guns, while their tech priest checked the tracking of their swivel mounts. Aisha leaned on the gallery railing and stared at Blue Zephyr. There weren't many ships like the Pantheras in the Imperium. They were among the best, advanced technology laid into every part. Rumours had it that the Emperor himself had a hand in their design. And why not? They were the front line of the palace's airspace defence.
The best pilots in the Segmentum. And we've been sitting on our behinds for weeks, she muttered to herself.
Getting itchy to fly, ma'am.
Flightmaster Dander Bay, she said, accepting the mug of recaf he held out to her. He was her second in command and led Flight 2 of the Bright Hawks.
I'm always itchy to fly.
She made a sorry little noise. I should never have accepted this posting. No action for years. Always bloody waiting.
I don't think you want to fly in that, ma'am,
Bay said, nodding out at the firestorm through the hangar entrance. He told her where he was from, somewhere on Terra warm enough to give him rich brown skin and matching eyes. He never looked unhappy, even when he was. Thoughtful was the most miserable emotion he displayed.
I'd fly in that quite happily, she said. Better than sitting in here.
Aren't you supposed to stamp down on that kind of talk? Keep our morale up.
She snorted.
What are they going to do? Relieve me of command? Not right now, my friend.
She sipped her drink and pulled her face.
Oh, this is bloody awful.
Thank you, Mum, said Bay.
Aisha looked out past the end of the mag catapult ramps. Metal piers that looked to be supported by nothing, they ended in thin air, past which was the ceaseless roil of explosions. It was a view she was growing tired of. She was about to open her mouth and ask the question she did every morning, do you think it will be today, when klaxons stopped her.
All squadrons report to launch bays. All squadrons report to launch bays.
The lumen snapped off. Rotating ready lights spun up to action on the walls. Emergency lighting came on.
Is this a drill? Bay said.
It better bloody not be, she said. The klaxons barked on and on. Men and women were streaming into the hangar from all sides, followed by stolid servitors moving to prepare the Pantheras for takeoff.
All squadrons prepare to launch, said the voice.
Outside, a flight of golden aircraft sped by.
The Adeptus Custodes are up, said Bay.
She grinned savagely and put her recaf down by the railing's footing.
Then it's not a drill, she said.
The clangor of sirens rose, wailing over the palace, outcompeting the sound of the bombs. The crews tumbled into the ready rooms, wrenching open their lockers and flinging on their flight gear. In a ruckus that hid how orderly they were suited and sprinting to their war machines in moments. Aisha shouted the ground crew out of the way and sprang up the ladder hooked into Blue Zephyr's fuselage, then shouted at them some more to clear her path for takeoff.
Get the ladder off! Get me into the air!
They'd been drilling this for months. They should be faster. All around Hangar 1, engines coughed into life and began pre-ignition burns. The rotating tables they sat on turned them towards the hangar slot. Small trucks were guided forwards to the first two ships, the munitions locked into place. Aisha checked her chrono.
0.2 slower than best,
she yelled into her helm vox.
Hurry it up!
More ships were streaking past the hangar, disgorged from similar facilities all over the Eternity Wall spaceport. She keyed in her vox to strategic-level communications.
Squadron Mistress Aisha Davenport ready for launch, she said.
Scramble immediately,
came a terse reply.
Engagement coordinates incoming.
Understood. For the Emperor.
She switched channels to the squadron net.
Into the air! Now! Now! Now!
Her own clusters of missiles were loaded up. By then, the first two Pantheras were angling their jets, pushing up from the ground on cushions of shimmering air. They hovered forwards and let the mag catapults take them. Running lights on the short runway spars turned from red to green, and the ships were hurtled out of the port. The second two were close behind, the third pair rising.
Aisha adjusted her helmet, kissed two fingers and pressed them against the pict of her husband, pinned to her ship dashboard. She'd not seen him for 5 years. That didn't stop her loving him. Her hands danced over a dozen switches. Displays came on in a crescent in front of her. Easing up the stick, she fell into line between the third pair of aircraft and waited her turn for the catapult. Third pair were out, shrinking to the size of birds before punching through the voids and into the maelstrom. Then it was her turn. The ship wavered on its own backwash, the scream of engines magnified by the hangar. Red light. Red light. Red light. Her foot hung over the burner pedal. Green light! The mag catapult took her ship in its fist and hurled her like a javelin out over the palace. She slammed back into her seat with force and pressed hard with her suddenly heavy foot. The burners roared at full power. Blue Zephyr and its companion Leo shot out at near maximum speed from the sides of the spaceport. The sprawl of the palace was a blur. The world was a crush of acceleration weight and a glare of fire. "Brighthawks, Flight 2 in the air!" voxed Bay. "Brighthawks, Flight 1 in the air!" she responded. Blue Zephyr shot through the voids into a world of flame. Mass projectiles, dumb and explosive, laser lance beams thick as hive spires, Nova cannon shot, plasma streams and plasma balls, weapons of such potency as could level a world, slammed into the aegis of the palace, and Aisha flew straight into it. "Bright hawks, fall in!" she gritted her teeth. There was no time to say anything more complicated than that. The vox was a shrieking mess of conflicting voices and interference cast out by the bombardment. "Bright hawks, converge attack point!" Her controller's voice broke up into squealing, as a particle beam sliced down from orbit, cocooned by an invisible magnetic coherence field that incidentally blotted out all nearby voxcoms. Her displays danced. She got a snatch of her squadron on the disposition screen coming into formation, only for them to break in every direction as a lance strike punched through the middle. The graphics flickered out. When they came on, one of her ships was gone.
"Curse it, Bay! Bay, get them moving!"
No reply came over the whooping of energy weapons ionizing the air. Suddenly, they were through the worst of it, racing across a patch of sky over the central districts, clear of weapon strikes. The dust-laden heavens writhed with lightning. Visibility was down to a few kilometres. Through the haze of dust and smoke and the witch-fire glow of the Aegis, the palace was a set of unguessable shapes spitting fire into space. Thousands of aircraft were in flight from every division of the Imperial War Machine. True starfighters raced beside purely atmospheric craft. Legion attack ships of white, red and yellow fell in with aeronautica wings, while the rare, bulbous pursuit ships of the Adeptus Custodes glinted between. Communications cleared enough for Aisha to organise her squadron, and for orders to come down from high command within the Bab Bastion. "All air defence units prepare for engagement!" Auger screens lit up with a solid mass of contacts. As fast attack ships, the Pantheras arrowed upwards ahead of the flocks of fighters, ready to take the fight up into the void if need be. When her prow was pointed heavenwards, Aisha saw it would never come to that. The traitor's air fleet filled the sky.